It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Well, we're starting a new series called Grace Under Fire, and this will get us to Palm Sunday. Kind of crazy to think about that with snow still on the ground, but, you know, that's where we're at. It was kind of insult to injury this morning, wasn't it? You lose an hour of sleep, and then you wake up and have to scrape your car. That's not a good morning. But we really, really appreciate you braving it and being here with us and coming anyway, even though you're missing sleep and your hands are cold. We love that you're here this morning with us and glad you came to worship. So we're going to jump into this series, Grace Under Fire. How many of you have experienced God's grace in your life before? Yeah, good, good. Now the follow-up question, aren't you so thankful for that grace? Okay, this is the good morning thing all over again, isn't it? Aren't you so thankful for that grace in your life? Amen. Yes, thank you, goodness. Oh, you can probably, right, as thankful as you are for God's grace and as easy sometimes as it is to recognize God's grace in our lives, you probably can think of some times where it wasn't so easy to recognize the goodness of God. Not that God wasn't still good or that he was less good, but it was maybe harder to recognize, harder to feel the nearness of God. And those, you know, those times come during times of grief, during times of pain, of sorrow, of loss, or whatever the case may be, when things aren't necessarily going the way we had hoped. It's a lot harder when we're in pain to feel like God is good and near and close. When things are painful, it is tough to feel the goodness of God. All of us will or have encountered times like these in our lives. Have we ever felt like it was a little bit tougher to feel like God was close or on our side? If you haven't, I'm sure you will at some point. And so in this series, this is going to serve as a reminder to us of what God's grace is and that it is always with us. No matter how we feel, it is with us. And so I've got a scripture that we're going to kick off with. It's 1 Peter 1:6 through 9. It says this, In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer in grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, our faith is more precious than gold, Peter says. Our faith is more precious than gold. It's hard to think about because if, you know, I think when I hear that, I think of what I could do with, you know, a couple handfuls of gold, right? That'd be pretty valuable. Agreed? I mean, if you guys have gold laying around that I don't know about, what's happening here? You guys don't seem very excited about that. If you had a couple handfuls of gold, that would be very valuable. But it's not worth as much as our faith. Our faith is more precious than gold, and it is worth the trials, and it is worth the times that it doesn't feel like God is very close to us. So even when we don't feel it or feel like we can't catch a break, God's grace is with us all the time. So we're going to be in Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 12 today. And we're going to talk about someone named Moses. Have you ever heard of Moses? Yeah, good, good. He is this guy who was kind of born in Egypt and sent down the river in a basket, and then he was a part of Israel, but he was raised Egyptian, and then this whole thing happens, and he does a bad thing and heads off to the desert, and God kind of meets with him, and now God has put him in charge of the people of Israel, and this is kind of where we're going to pick up is Moses is kind of questioning himself and questioning God's will and God's grace. And so in verses 1 through 12, we're going to read together today. It says this: Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took a hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. "This," said the Lord, "is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak, and when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say." What a story. Moses had lots of excuses, right? Did you hear all of them? And God just kept saying, well, here's an answer for that, here's an answer for that. God was faithful enough to go everywhere with Moses. He's giving him these miracles. His grace is walking with him. God was faithful enough to go everywhere with Moses. Moses went through some refining, but he was able to accomplish incredible things through the grace of God. Moses, I mean, we could spend probably a year in Exodus looking at all these crazy things that God did through Moses. But this morning, we're going to talk about three ways that God's grace is with us. Three ways that God's grace is with us. The first one is this: God's grace is with us even when we have questions. God's grace is with us even when we have questions. The first verse, Exodus 4, verse 1, it says this: Moses answered, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" Moses asked that famous question, right? This is a very old question that Moses has asked, or that we still would ask today, right? What if? Have you ever lived in the what if before? I would think so, right? Well, what if things are too scary, or what if things are too difficult, or what if it hurts if I do this? What if keeps us from doing so many things, and really, it's a problem for us humans that we live in the what if. What if comes from a place of doubt, right? It comes from a place of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen if we say, if we do something or jump into a new position or something that may be scary, or God's asking us to come out of our comfort zone. Moses isn't necessarily doubting God in this question, right? But he's doubting himself. And at the end, he said, "Well, you know, I'm slow of tongue. My speech isn't good, and it hasn't improved," right? Is basically what he says, "since you've met with me." But he's definitely doubting himself. And doubting God is one thing, but doubting ourselves is a whole other thing, right? We have a reason to doubt ourselves. We're not perfect. We fall short all the time. We have less reason to doubt God, but you know, that's where faith comes in. We need to learn to live more into God's grace that is always with us and not live in the doubt that we carry with ourselves or when we rely on ourselves to accomplish things. So if we're up to me and my power, I would definitely be living in doubt. I'm assuming that's that's how the rest of you feel about that as well. If it was up to me and I was in control of things and I had power to accomplish things, I would be doubting myself constantly. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. The good news, right? The good news is that it's not up to me and it's not up to you and it's not up to anyone else, but through faith, we can operate in the grace of God that will overcome all of our iniquities, all the places that we fall short, all the things that don't measure up in our life. God's grace is with us and allows us to have power over those things. So God can handle, here's the other part of this, is Moses sets this example, just laying out all these doubts and questions. God can handle our doubts and our questions. So we can take them to God, right? God can handle this. He didn't say, Moses, you moron, why are you asking these questions, right? He says, yeah, here's how I'm going to fix that. Here's what to do if the people don't believe. Here's how, you know, you go ahead and I'll teach you what to do. He's not abrasive. He's not mad. He's not saying, quit sinning, Moses. Stop doubting. He says, yeah, I can handle those questions. And the problem that we face so many times today is that when we have questions about anything, but faith or otherwise, it's easy, instead of taking them to prayer or taking them to Scripture, it's easy to just take them to the internet, right? Google, YouTube, any, you know, forums, anything on social media, Reddit, whatever. You can ask questions pretty much anywhere and get an answer spit back to you. The problem is that's typically not based in Scripture, and it's not the answer that God would necessarily be giving. God can handle our doubts and questions, but we have to take them to Him. Prayer is a part of that grace that is poured out and helping us to answer tough questions. Prayer is a huge part of grace. Before, right, Moses, we see Moses in the Old Testament meeting physically with God. There was burning bush, and there was all these places, and he had to go through all these steps and take his shoes off and probably spin around a couple times or whatever. I don't know all the rituals, but it was a lot you had to go through in order to get to the Holy of Holies, or these places that God would meet with people. And now that grace has been poured out through Jesus on the cross, we get to pray, right? The veil literally was torn at the temple, but it was symbolism that we can now talk to God. So through this grace that is poured out, prayer is a huge part to help us through our tough questions. Bringing questions to God is part of the sanctification process, right? God wants to make us more and more and more like Christ through the Holy Spirit. Bringing our questions and our doubts directly to God is not denying God or saying I'm a bad person or a bad Christian. It's part of that process that He wants to take us through. Number two, God's grace is with us even when we don't believe. Moses' original inquiry, if you remember, was to prove to the Israelites who didn't believe that God was meeting with him, right? He said, well, what happens if I say what you said, and they're like, ah, I don't think God even met with you in the first place. He was asking God to reveal himself because people weren't believing. So verse 9 says, but if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile, pour it out on dry ground, the water will become blood on the ground. So God's saying, if they don't believe, here's more that we can do. God gave him two miracles and then a third, right, to be able to reveal himself to the Israelites through Moses. Another part of grace, right, we talked about prayer being one of those parts of grace. Another part of grace is God revealing himself to us, not just in Scripture, not just through prayer, not just in worship services, but in unlimited ways, right? How many of you have been in a situation where God has shown you something or more of who He is through something that wasn't maybe in this room or wasn't during your prayer time or reading the Bible? Maybe it's you saw something, you know, that God has created. You know, you saw something through nature, or you saw something through a friend. Have you felt that before? God has revealed Himself to you in new and creative and unlimited ways all the time. And this is just another example of Him doing that for the Israelites. So even when you don't believe, God is revealing Himself in ways that only He can. So a couple questions around that. What miracle is God working in your life right now? If God is revealing Himself to us in new ways all the time, we need to be looking for those, right? So in what miracles, or what miracle is God working in your life right now, and how is God revealing himself in areas you may not realize? Maybe you've been praying for something for a long time and you're not getting the answer you wanted. Maybe we need to look at it in a new way, right? Because maybe God is revealing that answer in a new way. So when God reveals himself, especially in areas that we aren't seeing him, it strengthens our faith. So Moses comes to God as this doubting, bumbling guy, it sounds like, right? We see this younger Moses, and he's talking to God about all the issues he's having, and God strengthens his faith by meeting with him and showing him all these miracles. Even before he takes it to the Israelites, God reassures him with those are all impressive miracles today, right? We have all this technology. We still can't turn sticks into snakes, right? We still can't turn water into blood. And then what was the third one? Oh, the leprosy. I mean, good grief, right? We wouldn't want to do that anyway. But those are things that we still can't do 2,000 years later. These are impressive things that God is showing Moses. So whether we believe it or not, whether we believe that God is good, whether we believe that God exists, whether we believe that God is for us, his grace is always with us. It's something that we don't have control over. Number three, God's grace is with us even when we don't know what to say. Verse 10 says, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Pardon me, God, I just don't know what to say." Have you ever been at a loss for words? You might not be slow of speech or have some sort of impairment, but you just haven't been able to get words out. You've been so baffled by what's happened. This happened to me this few weeks ago. We were coaching 4 to 6 year olds in our Midtown Sports Basketball League. And one of these little boys, I bent down on a knee, you know, did this, one of these things, and you'll probably see the same thing he was seeing, but my head, a little shiny, right? I can't see it up there, but is it shining? Okay, so I'm down on a knee talking to our team, and he says, you know, because they don't have any filter and they interrupt all the time, he says, "Why is your head so sweaty?" And could be right. I felt it. I said, "I don't think it is. I think it's just shining, like the light shining on my bald head. It just is reflecting the light." And, you know, I thought that was good enough. And so he takes his non-sweaty arm and he goes, and he looks at me and he's like, "Yeah, but I'm probably sweaty. I don't know." And we moved on. How do you explain that? How have you ever, would any of you know what to say to that? Why his arm wasn't reflecting light, but my shiny head was? I don't know. No, there's no wax. I don't know. There's no answer. I'm sure a scientist probably could tell you, but I couldn't. I truly had no words for this kid. And so I just submit to his authority on the subject, because he had logically proven me wrong. So sometimes we do find ourselves at a loss for words. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not. But at one time or another, we've all been at a loss for words. The cool thing about God's grace is that he will provide the words. He did it for Moses, right? We've just read about. We see it in Acts with Peter and all the other apostles, where they go out and God just says, "I'll tell you what to say. Just go," right? And he does it for us today. Now, on the other hand, maybe you're in a situation where you go into it and say, "God, I don't have the words to say." And then all of a sudden, you know, the Holy Spirit provides you with something. God still does this for us today. God's grace is still with us even when we don't have the words. Have you ever spoken words that weren't exactly provided by the grace of God? On the other hand, right? We've spoken words that maybe weren't provided by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Maybe they weren't socially acceptable words or they were hurtful to other people. I'm sure we've all let those slip sometimes too. Our words are important, right? Whether they're provided by God or whether they're not, they still leave the mouth, they still leave those wounds or leave that healing, whichever we choose. We need to lean on the grace of God when we don't know what to say. It's better to probably just keep quiet if we don't know what to say than it is to say something that could be hurtful. God's grace is with us even when we don't know what to say. So today, we got a glimpse of a younger Moses who is full of questions and doubts and fears. And we all know what Moses went on to do, right? We've heard we've seen the story in full picture, right? This is the start of Moses' ministry, if you could call it that. We see what happens. He ends up being the person that God uses to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. I mean, through all these incredible stories and plagues and parting the Red Sea and got him the Ten Commandments. I mean, Moses was a big, big deal in the life of God's people. But we see this before he starts leaning on God's grace, he's just like the rest of us, doubting, full of fear, full of questions. The same grace is available to you today, and the same God is wanting to refine you in the same way that he did Moses. So for the next few weeks, we're going to explore God's grace together. And my question for you is, will you be open to what God has for you in that? Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this these few minutes to talk about Moses and questions and doubts and fears. And God, we just we want to lean on your grace today. We just are so thankful that we're able to communicate with you, that you still provide words for us to communicate with others. God, we're so humbled that you would give grace to the likes of us. So as we start to think and see things through this lens of grace and start to be refined by you, help us to just lean into that grace with what we say, with what we do, with all of our doubts, that we would just approach you with them. God, we thank you for the story of Moses and how it can apply to our lives. We know that you have been refining people through your grace for thousands of years, and we just want to be the next in line to do that. So help us this week as we leave. We just thank you and praise you, and we want to live lives that glorify you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I know this is not the